It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. The differences between urban and rural parts of the state get a lot of attention in the political sphere, but we don't always hear as much about what life is actually like in small-town Wisconsin. It's the setting for a new novel about growing up in a fictional rural community near Eau Claire in the late 90s and early 2000s. It's not a political story, but the book shows us how characters in the small town work through issues of identity, sexuality, and economic changes along the way. Mike McCabe is former executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. His debut novel is called Miracles Along County Q. Mike, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. You have been a journalist in Wisconsin. You've been involved in politics as a watchdog on campaign finance. And now here comes a fiction book, and not like a political thriller or anything. What took you into writing a small town piece of fiction for Wisconsin?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with politics. And part of the reason is that though I'm very proud of the work I've done over the years, we're living in a moment where what ails our society the most can't be cured at the Capitol. The biggest problems facing us, the dishonesty, the divisiveness, the demonization, the dehumanization that we see in our society, these are matters of the heart, and those problems can't be solved through politics. And I think art is actually better equipped than politics to the task ahead of us. So I decided to write a novel. I almost reached retirement age before taking a crack at fiction writing, but here I am.
Introduce us to the fictional rural setting here, the town of Faith, located near real-world Colby. Tell us a little about your community this is centered around.
Yeah, you know, Faith is about halfway between two very real places. It's a fictional community, but it's situated between two very real communities, Loyal and Unity. Mm-hmm. In Clark County, and as you say, not far from Colby. And, you know, Faith is a struggling small town. It's beleaguered. People are definitely struggling there. And some are giving up hope. But also, like any small town, you know, there's tremendous pride in the community, and there's a stubbornness about making sure that the community moves forward. But there's also stratification. There are people who are well off. There are
people on the Hill and the rest of everybody.
Yeah, and there's actually a place called the Hill, which is based on a very real place from my childhood, where the doctors or lawyers or the people who are sort of the business owners. That's where they live, And then there are the outcasts. And this novel is really about outcasts and how they're seen, how they're judged, how they're treated as a result, and how they also have remarkable abilities that often are overlooked or ignored or not even seen at all. But they have the capacity to work wonders, and outcasts in this story really do come to the rescue of this struggling community.
Your main character, Ray, is one of those outcasts in a lot of ways. Doesn't fit in a lot of ways because of race, his family background, other things we learn throughout the story as well. And I think often the story then is, hey, I don't fit into this small town, so I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the Twin Cities. I'm going to go to Madison, Milwaukee, New York City, whatever. And that is not the answer for Ray and a lot of the other characters. They find ways to build lives in this small town. This seems important to me in what you're doing with this book. Talk about that a little.
Well, you know, it is easy for people who feel ostracized or feel like outsiders to just pack up and leave and go someplace else where they figure they'll be welcome. But the thing is, for Ray, family's there, friends are there, everything that Ray cares about is there. And so Ray's stubborn and decides to make a go of it right there. Ray's got some surprises that are revealed toward the end of the book.
We won't spoil that.
But, you know, this is a story about how we're no darn good at looking below the surface. We look at what's on the surface and we judge people by outward appearance. And we're no darn good at at understanding what's going on underneath and what marvels, what wonders exist underneath. And if we would only look under that surface, there's some remarkable capacities there and raise a testimony to that.
Another way you want to look below the surface, I think, and you've talked about this before, this novel is we can't look at rural Wisconsin, rural anywhere, as a monolith where everybody is the same, whether that's a negative view from the outside or the positive small town values from the inside. Your characters, the people in the town of Faith, they're encountering situations, they react to them differently. They each have their own story about how they relate to these things.
Yeah, if anything, this book is about shattering that myth that rural communities are monoliths. There's a line in the book, everybody thinks everybody knows everybody in small towns, and everybody's wrong. People are complicated, and they're no less complicated in small rural communities as they are anywhere else. And you know, there are people who are really well off. There are people who are dirt poor. And there are people who are highly successful, and there are people who are failing miserably and struggling mightily. And yet sometimes the people who have been pushed aside or discounted end up having some of the most remarkable capabilities and can come to the rescue when things really go awry.
Another thing that happens a lot in your book is you mentioned there's family there for Ray and other characters. Sometimes that family relationship is rocky. For some of the characters, it's horrible. But a lot of what's happening here is finding family. Not necessarily biological family. Ray ends up calling an older couple, grandma and grandpa, about midway through the book. Yep. Finding our people. That's something that can happen in small towns or big cities, all points in between.
Yeah, it has to happen for people, regardless of where they live. And sometimes family arrangements are ugly. Sometimes they're just complicated. But sometimes they're really painful. And that means people have to find connection where they come. Where they can find it, and Ray does that with remarkable effect. And you know, this book in a lot of ways was inspired by my late brother Dan. You know, I don't know where I'd be or who I would be if I hadn't grown up in Dan's shadow. He was just by accident of birth. He had some neurological damage at birth that led to all kinds of facial twitching and facial tics, and had very unsightly growths on his face. So you can imagine what he then faced in school, relentlessly bullied, tormented, physically abused. And I watched all that sometimes from a distance, sometimes from up quite close. And the remarkable thing about Dan is that even though he had all kinds of reasons to curl up in a ball, to sort of let a shell build around him and not let people in, he became probably one of the friendliest and most open and accepting people I have ever met, which was a genuine inspiration, because he was sort of treated as a, you know, a throwaway human being, as refuse. And yet he really rose above that, and in adulthood was as friendly and as accepting as anybody I've ever encountered. And that spirit is a spirit that I tried to bring into the book. And I wouldn't have had this story to tell if I hadn't had Dan as a brother.
Talking to Mike McCabe about his new novel. It's set in rural Wisconsin. It's called Miracles Along County Q. Mike, as you say, it's set in the real world. There is definitely an element of magical realism, the divine. It's called miracles are in the title, the opening line. What can't be explained is magic. Talk a little bit about the supernatural element to your book.
Well, you know, I think we like to think that we can explain everything, and that we can figure anything out and come up with a logical explanation for anything. In reality, we need to be a little bit more humble than that. There are things that are just difficult to understand or impossible to explain. And I do use what you describe as magical realism. There are very true, very real events and people who appear in this book But there is also the element of the supernatural, because there is a limit to what human understanding can explain. There's a lot that we still have to learn about each other and about life, and this book sort of celebrates that fact that we've got a lot still to figure out.
And whether we're talking about it as a supernatural thing or a psychological thing, one of my big takeaways from the book is the healing power of empathy, of understanding other people, of putting yourself in their perspectives. Am I right in seeing that as something you were really highlighting here?
Oh, absolutely. I think if the book were to be summed up in one sentence, I guess what I would say, I could do it in three words, kindness, I guess it's four, kindness is a superpower.
And that, I don't want to give away too much of the magical realism here, that's maybe literally true for our main character, but you see this as a metaphor, I think, for what we can do in the real world. Expand on that a little.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, that takes me back to my memories of my late brother. He endured a lot, more than anybody should have to endure, certainly far more than I ever had to endure. It was painful watching, but it changed me. It transformed me forever, made me a different person than I fear I would have become otherwise had I not grown up in his shadow. But he, even though he was subjected to a lot of cruelty, he found a way, a path to kindness. And he treated people with a kindness that they probably didn't deserve sometimes, given the way society treated him. But that had a powerful effect on me. So right there was an example of somebody who rose above pain and was still able to show kindness to people. And that was his superpower. That was his ability to transform me. My life was changed forever because I had him as a brother. I lost him when he was only 47 years old. He died of colon cancer. But we were very, very close, even though we were completely different. But we were very close. And he taught me a lot about life. And to me, that was an example of somebody who possessed true superpowers.
In the town of faith, a lot of what we lately call culture war issues are lurking in the fringes, directly confronted at some points. Think of anything you've seen in the news. It's coming up there. And getting back to your point of some things can't be solved in a capital, a lot of times when we're talking about these issues, it's our side against their side and big, broad views. Talk a little bit about the value of dealing with this as people, one-to-one in a way.
Yeah, that's the thing that is so troubling about our current moment, is we are so prone to demonizing others. One side looks at the other as absolutely evil, not just wrong, not just people we may disagree with, but we actually see them as evil. And of course, even in a small town, that entire spectrum is covered. You've got people who are living very different lives, and you know, we tend to think about rural communities as people are just all the same, but they're not. Anybody who's ever actually lived in a small community knows that there's a tremendous range of different kinds of people. And they look, some are looking down on others, some really despise certain neighbors or certain others in the community. And if we're going to live together, and certainly if we're going to prosper as a society, we have to make changes inside us. We can't expect those problems to be solved on Capitol Hill. Once our society makes a change, that will be reflected in our politics, not the other way around. The change isn't going to come through political action and then society is going to be transformed. No, I think society will make change, and then that change will end up being reflected in our politics. And right now, what's being reflected in our politics is our tendency to you know, sometimes be downright delusional. We're dishonest with ourselves about so many things. We're denying so many things that are true. And then we're demonizing other people. We're sowing the seeds of division. We're even dehumanizing people. We're seeing them as less than human. And we've got to confront that. And those are matters of the heart. And when we change them in our hearts, the politics will reflect that.
Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Rob.
That's Mike McCabe, former journalist in Wisconsin, longtime former executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He was with us today to share his new novel set in rural Wisconsin. It's called Miracles Along County Q.